ceremonies are held in Iran and other parts of the world to mark the second anniversary of the U.S. assassination of General Soleimani. Iran calls on the UN Security Council to hold the U.S. and Israel accountable for the targeted killing of General Soleimani. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah rally in solidarity with a critically ill hunger-striking prisoner. I'm Behrouz Najafi. It's good to have you with us. January the 3rd marks the second anniversary of the assassination of top Iranian commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, in a U.S. drone strike outside Baghdad airport. People in Iran and elsewhere, including Yemen, Syria, and Iraq, are commemorating the occasion with ceremonies. In Iraq, people have held a vigil at the attack scene in Baghdad to pay tribute to the top general and senior Iraqi commander, Abu Mehdi al-Mohandes, who was also targeted in the strike. Thousands flooded a central square in the Iraqi capital to honor the two anti-terror icons. They renewed their call for the withdrawal of all U.S. forces from their country. Just 2 days after the deadly attack, Iraqi parliamentarians passed a bill requiring the government to expel American forces. People in Toronto have held a vigil to honor General Soleimani and Abu Mehdi al-Mohandes. Human rights activist Faraz al-Najm, who joined us from the Canadian city, says that the UN has failed to take action on the U.S. assassination of the top commanders as it is being controlled by the West.
The United Nations is run by these superpowers and these criminals, and they have a very strong hold on them, and they're very biased, unfortunately. We see that in many places, such as Palestine. You know, the Israeli Zionist regime. We see what's going on in Kashmir with them very silent. We see what's going on in Yemen, the worst humanitarian crisis. So, you know, everywhere in the world, in Nigeria, everywhere we see criminal acts happening by tyrants, you know, and that they have support of the U.S. and their allies, the British and so on, that they're very silent and they're very quiet and they don't do nothing about it. And unfortunately, this is the way it is. We have lost trust in the United Nations. All these people here, we've seen for many years so many violations that happen, and we don't see any action, any justice, you know, any sanctions. Like, there's nothing going on. The U.S. it still has a green light to cause any kind of criminal act to invade any country, and they fabricate any type of justification to go and invade another country and kill its citizens and so on. But the Iraqis today came out in thousands and millions, and this showed a sign. And also Qasem Soleimani's daughter was in Iraq, Zainab Soleimani, and she stood up and said that the only solution to this situation is for the Americans and their troops to evacuate Iraq immediately.
In the meantime, Iran has called on the Security Council to hold the U.S. and Israel to account for assassinating its top commander. Iran's UN ambassador, Majid Taftavanchi, in his letter to the High Council, described the assassination as a horrific act and a grave violation of international law by the U.S. The official also touched on Israel's recent acknowledgement of its role in the deadly strike. He said all players, directly and indirectly, involved have a responsibility and should be held accountable. The envoy noted that the assassination was a big gift to Daesh terrorists, whom the Iranian commander fought for years. He stressed that Iran will vigorously continue on the path of General Soleimani to actively help regional nations fight terrorists. Also, Iran saying that the United States is primarily responsible for the 2020 assassination of Lieutenant General Soleimani.
This case has around 125 suspects and defendants, and the majority of them are U.S. government officials. The former U.S. president is on the top of this list. He admits carrying out this act of terrorism against international law and international rights, and is even proud of it. This itself is a clear evidence to show who the real perpetrator is, highlighting the U.S. government's flagrant violation of international law, human rights, and other commitments.
Fadi Babadi says Donald Trump's confessions can be used as important documents in legal proceedings. It says Iran's main goal is to identify all perpetrators and bring them to justice in cooperation with Iraq, where the criminal act took place. According to the Iranian official, the U.S. has not acted alone in targeting the top commander, as it has received different types of assistance, including logistic ones, from other countries and organizations. Therefore, Iran is saying that the case requires full and extensive criminal investigation and that no person or entity involved should be immune from prosecution. Now, Marwa Osman is a journalist, researcher, and presenter. We asked her about the role of General Soleimani in eliminating terrorists from the Middle East, and here's what she had to say.
And we go back to the first leader of the revolution, Sayyid Imam Ruhullah al-Khomeini, and all the speeches that he gave and the support that he gave to the people. We saw Qasem Soleimani, the embodiment of that speech on the ground. He practically took those theories, those strategies, and practiced them. That's why he touched every one of us. And it was personal to Lebanon, because it's the Zionist entity and the Takfiri terrorists. Myself, I have experience with terrorism. I could have died with two kids in the back seat of the car because of Wahhabi Takfiri terrorists. And it was Qasem Soleimani and his soldiers who rid me, my family, my community, my country from this Takfiri terrorism. If it were not for the blood of these martyrs, blood of students I taught at the university whom we lost fighting against Takfiri terrorism under the command of Hash Qasem and the likes of Hash Qasem, I wouldn't be here today.
Okay, from Tehran, I'm now joined by Sayed Hosseini. He's a researcher and lecturer. Good to have you with us, Mr. Hosseini. So this is the second anniversary of Commander Soleimani's martyrdom. Let's have your opinion on this occasion.
Well, the martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani marks, I think, the end of the invasion of American into the Middle East. It was not for the martyrdom of General Soleimani, probably the process of daily evacuation from this region was going to be much delayed. In fact, the martyred version of General Qasem Soleimani is much more dangerous to the American and Israeli policies than the walking General Soleimani. Soleimani, for if he belonged to communists today, they made out of him another Che Guevara. The equal, he was somebody like Hamza to the Prophet, like Maliki Ashtar to Ali, like Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In our age and time, a man like General Soleimani is very rare to be found. Somebody who has grounded into the hearts of people. When he departed, 70 million people in the entire Iran came together. He united, the blood of General Soleimani has united the nation and accelerated the process of the evacuation of the American from the region, made it more serious to them. In fact, the blood of General Soleimani continues to inspire the nations. The Palestinian brothers especially, they are getting their lessons and inspiration from the teachings and the sacrifice of General Soleimani, one of the Hamas members. A few days ago had an interview saying that the idea of the channels in Gaza was an idea of General Soleimani. And he actually traveled three times to Palestine in spite of all of the limitations which were there, but they found him to be in Gaza. A man like Soleimani who had dedicated the entire life to his aim and objectives. In fact, in one occasion I met him and he gave me a ring. The ring is too big for my finger, that's why I didn't manage to reduce the size. But when he was giving the ring, he was saying that, I want you to pray for my martyrdom. A man that has always asked everyone whom he trusted, everyone whom he was talking to, pray for his martyrdom. In fact, this is one of the ambitions that he Jihad. That is what American and the Israelis, they don't understand, that they were fighting someone who was longing for the martyrdom, who was wishing every day to die. So they actually gave him what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And for him, it was Ihdal Husnayain, one of the biggest, one of the two good things that he managed to achieve. For the families of the martyrs, he was like a father. For the army that was under him, he was not only a commander, but he was running always in the front line of fighting against the enemies. He was not a type of commander who was just giving commands from behind. He was always on the first line. In fact, once when I met Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, one of the complaints that Sayyid had was that, you know, I am very worried about General Soleimani. When he comes here, he just goes into the front line and he does not have no fear, and we are very worried about his life. The type of life that he enjoyed was, you know, a noble life who has dedicated the entire life to promote the aim and objectives of the Islamic revolution. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rewarded him with the greatest gift of martyrdom, which his name now inspires millions of people across the globe.
Right, and that was exactly what he was asking for in his prayers. Thanks for that, Sayyid Husseini, researcher and lecturer, with his comments in Tehran. Now, Iran says that the Western parties to the 2015 deal have realized that they have to step back from having excessive demands during talks in Vienna. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman, Saeed Khatibzadeh, says that the European signatories are aware that it cannot either have any requests beyond the scope of the deal or act below their commitments to remove anti-Iran sanctions. In his weekly presser, Khatibzadeh called the mechanism of the Vienna talks clear and transparent. He said bilateral and multilateral meetings among Tehran, the P4 plus one countries, would resume in the Austrian capital today. And this is the eighth round of talks among the remaining parties. Tehran's proposals on sanctions removal and its nuclear commitments are set to be the main topic of discussion. Now, Palestinians in the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah have taken to the streets again in solidarity with a critically ill prisoner, Hisham Abu Hawash. He's been on hunger strike for 140 days. They urge Israel to release the prisoner, warning that he may die at any moment, Mona Kendall reports.
After almost 140 days of his hunger strike, the 40-year-old Palestinian prisoner Hisham Abu Hawash is in imminent danger, facing the risk of sudden death at any moment. Representatives of Palestinian factions and prisoners' advocacy groups in the occupied Ramallah took to the streets again, sounding the alarm over the health condition of Abu Hawash, who is protesting his illegal administrative detention without charge or trial.
My brother Hisham could die at any moment. This is according to medical reports by the doctors who have directly examined Hisham. We are really worried about his health. Israel is using a new form of assassination against our brothers.
The International Committee of the Red Cross has meanwhile issued a statement demanding Israel to immediately release Abu Hawash. Israel claims it keeps some Palestinians behind bars without disclosing sensitive information that could expose valuable sources. In the case of Abu Hawash, Israeli intelligence claims he is an activist of the Jihad movement. However, it was not able to provide explicit evidence in support of its allegations. Palestinian human rights organizations say it's yet another attempt to bring Palestinian prisoners to their knees and prevent them from being engaged in any form of struggle. Last month, the Israeli regime accepted to release hunger-striking prisoner Kaid al-Fasfus after 131 days of his protest, where his release was seen as yet another form of victory. As Israel reportedly holds over 4,500 Palestinian prisoners, hundreds of them are languishing behind bars without charge or trial under the illegal so-called administrative detention. Palestinians pray that Abu Hawash's life could be saved before it's too late. Abu Hawash, who's literally on the verge of death, has said before his health severely deteriorated that he will continue his hunger strike until victory. That is, according to him, his release or his martyrdom. Mona Kandil, Occupied Ramallah.
Saudi Arabia keeps pounding civilian targets in Yemen. Fresh air strikes on the impoverished nation leave at least 5 civilians dead and several wounded. 3 people died in an air raid on a mosque in Sana'a province. The attack has completely destroyed the place of worship and damaged a number of nearby homes and a school. Saudi warplanes have also hit a gas station in Shabwa province, killing 2 employees of the Yemeni oil ministry. Also in the Beida province, a customs crossing point has come under fire 7 times. Saudi Arabia launched a ruinous war on its southern neighbor in 2015 to reinstate a friendly government there, and that objective has not been achieved. Hundreds of thousands of Yemenis have been killed in the attacks. Well, no end in sight to Washington-Moscow tensions over Ukraine. U.S. President Joe Biden stressed his country's support for Ukraine in case of any Russian invasion of that country. According to the White House press secretary, Biden made the pledge during a telephone call with his Ukrainian counterpart, Volodymyr Zelensky. The U.S. president said that Washington and its allies will, quote, respond decisively if Russia moves to invade Ukraine. And that's days after Biden held a second conversation in a month with Russian President Vladimir Putin amid tensions on the Russia-Ukraine border. The U.S.-led NATO military alliance claims that Moscow is building up troops on its border with the intention to attack Ukraine. Moscow denies the allegation, saying its troops movement is aimed at securing its own territories. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Lieutenant General Qassem Soleimani, the commander of Hads, who single-handedly confronted the global hegemonic powers and valiantly spearheaded the fight against terrorists in Syria and Iraq, was a linchpin of the resistance axis and hero for the campaigners of truth and justice around the world. We now present you an article written by Sayed Zafar Mahdi, a Tehran-based journalist, editor and blogger with over 12 years of experience, who has reported extensively from Kashmir, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan and Iran for leading publications worldwide. The article is titled Lynchpin of Resistance Axis, World Pays Tribute to Lieutenant General Soleimani. Years ago, millions of grief-stricken people poured into the streets from Tehran to Beirut, from Karachi to Kashmir, to bid tearful adieu to the man they considered their own. Spectacular scenes were witnessed not only in Iran but also in faraway places, as people with moist eyes and heavy hearts carried banners and chanted vociferous slogans against the Big Satan. Social media was inundated with posts paying tribute to the fallen hero and calls for severe revenge reverberated far and wide. Even those who had never seen him saw his death as a personal loss. Lieutenant General Qassem Soleimani, the commander of Hads, who single-handedly confronted the global hegemonic powers and valiantly spearheaded the fight against terrorists in both Syria and Iraq, was a linchpin of the resistance axis and hero for the campaigners of truth and justice around the world. Sajjad Kargili, a prominent political and human rights activist from Indian-administered Kashmir's Kargil city, considers Lieutenant General Soleimani as one of his biggest inspirations. Kargil, a landlocked city surrounded by majestic mountains, saw mass demonstrations following the assassination of Lieutenant General Soleimani and his associates, including the top Iraqi resistance commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes, in a U.S. drone strike in Baghdad on 3rd of January 2020. The streets in this bustling Himalayan city of 170,000 people are still dotted with posters and banners eulogizing the 3rd of January martyrs. Kargili said, Haj Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi Mohandes were the two larger-than-life linchpins of resistance against Takfiri terrorism and Western imperialism. Their strong and unwavering stance against Daesh and its Western backers, including the United States, Israel, and some Arab regimes, has been registered in history. Kargili, who contested India's 2019 parliamentary elections and nearly defeated his main rival from the ruling party, says the onus now lies on new generation of pro-resistance figures to carry the torch forward and to disseminate the stories of their heroism, recounting the role of both Lieutenant General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes, the role they played in Iraq and Syria. Kargili said, these heroes led the fight against Daesh terrorists, crushed it, and saved many regional countries and even the West from the bloodthirsty terrorists. They were the saviors and our liberators. Invoked the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Lieutenant General Soleimani was a luminous example of those groomed in Islam and the school of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, the architect of the Islamic Revolution. That's perhaps why he caught the imagination of people everywhere in a way very few individuals have achieved in history. Paying tribute to the resistance hero, Agha Sayyid Hassan Mousavi, a senior pro-freedom leader in Indian-controlled Kashmir, said, General Soleimani represents free nations' resistance to imperialism and autocracy worldwide. He says General Soleimani achieved martyrdom for resisting the sinister plots of oppressors and for protecting the rights and dignity of the oppressed people worldwide. Hailing him as the voice of all nations who are not ready to surrender before arrogant powers, Sayyid Mousavi added, his supreme sacrifice infused new life in resistance against injustice, hypocrisy, and dehumanization. Osmar Shirazi, former president of the Imamia Students Organization, one of the largest student organizations in Pakistan, calls Lieutenant General Soleimani a beacon of light. She says, when we study his life, we understand that martyrdom was sweeter to him than honey. Osmar Shirazi adds, much like the young and brave warrior of Karbala, he was named after Qasim ibn Hassan, peace be upon him. The Imamia Students Organization is planning to hold a series of events across Pakistan to mark the second anniversary of the martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasim Soleimani. Mubashir Naqvi, a journalist and media researcher based in Pakistan-administered Kashmir, hails him as a role model in bravery, loyalty, and commitment to a cause. Mubashir Naqvi says he courageously confronted the gangsters of the world, outmaneuvering them in both the field and diplomacy, while being loyal and committed to the ideals of the Islamic Revolution. That made him an iconic figure not only in Iran, but everywhere from South America to South Asia, particularly those struggling for freedom and justice. Hassan Abatul Zaidi, a Karachi-based journalist and academic, says General Soleimani will be remembered as a hero who decimated Daesh terrorists and made the safe pilgrimage to both Iraq and Syria once again possible. She adds, at one point in 2014, Daesh terrorists held about a third of Syria and 40% of Iraq, and then General Soleimani appeared on the scene. Now is the time for Americans to pack up and leave. While General Soleimani planned the downfall of Daesh terrorists in Iraq and Syria and played a key role in the Israeli regime's disgraceful defeat against Hezbollah in the 33-day war in summer of 2006, he also left a deep imprint in neighboring Afghanistan back in the 1990s. Rahman Malikzadeh, a former member of the Northern Alliance in Afghanistan's Panjshir province, recalls Lieutenant General Soleimani's visit to the mountainous Hindu Kush Valley in the late 1990s and his close cooperation with Ahmad Shah Massoud. Rahman Malikzadeh says, Afghans will never forget what Lieutenant General Soleimani did for them, going out of his way to offer help in extremely trying times, adding, he's a legend, and legends never die. General Soleimani avoided limelight and rarely spoke to media. He was a person who deeply immersed himself in his job. Western regimes saw him as a shadowy figure that planned the downfall and defeat of Daesh terrorists in the region while escaping multiple bids on his life. A former CIA officer in September of 2013 called him the single most powerful operative in West Asia. In December of 2014, the cover of Newsweek magazine acknowledged that he was a nemesis for both Americans and Daesh. But he had and continues to have many admirers in the West, like Mick Wallace, a firebrand Irish politician and member of the European Parliament. Mick Wallace says he spent a week in Iraq earlier this year meeting people who are trying to build a sustainable independent state. He notes, the name of General Soleimani was never far from their lips, adding, he was too young to die, but for the U.S. imperialism, he was too effective, too powerful, too good to be allowed to live. According to the Irish politician, nobody did more to defeat Daesh terrorists in both Iraq and Syria than General Soleimani, while the United States and its allies were responsible for the rise of the terrorist groups. Of Lieutenant General Soleimani's assassination on the morning of 3rd of January 2020 was shocking and in direct contravention of international legal conventions. It led to unprecedented tensions in the region and drove Iran and the United States to the verge of military confrontation. Hania Tarkian, an Italy-based geopolitical analyst and Islamic lecturer, says her first reaction after receiving the news on that fateful morning was to cry. She recalls, on that morning, many cried as if they had lost a childhood friend or a father. It took time to sink in. Some, on the other hand, seemed to have freed themselves of great weight, the weight of their conscience, as if killing those who foiled the destabilization plot in West Asia could stop those who would later follow on the general's footsteps. She notes, the living martyr had on several occasions spoken about his desire for attaining martyrdom. Hania Tarkian says, for those who believe death is not the end, rather a new beginning, martyrdom is not the end of a revolution or a movement, but the strengthening of the same. Iranian authorities have vowed to pursue the case at the highest level and bring the perpetrators to justice. In a statement on Friday, 31st of December, Iran's foreign ministry said the U.S. government has a definite international responsibility in assassination of Lieutenant General Soleimani and his associates. Afarin Rizvi, a UK-based student and researcher of human rights and international law, says both international human rights law and international humanitarian law apply under the framework of an armed conflict. Providing a legal perspective, she said, the acting state in this case, the United States, needed to prove that the drone strike that assassinated Lieutenant General Soleimani was proportionate and necessary. She hastened to add, the acting state is prohibited from using targeted killings as a preventative measure. The strike that was conducted in Baghdad did not kill a legitimate target, as it included the premeditated use of lethal force by one state against a military commander, so it constitutes a flagrant violation of international laws. Afrin Rizvi, who examined the extrajudicial killing of Lieutenant General Soleimani in her BA final paper recently, says, America's so-called war on terror campaign has consistently deprived civilians of their right to life. She added, the United States should have been sanctioned not only for conducting an illegal airstrike and unlawfully assassinating a top military commander, but for simultaneously violating the sovereignty of Iraq in the process.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, what do you call a country which kills an icon, anti-terrorist fighter? Lieutenant Qasem Soleimani was loved by the people of the region as a true freedom fighter protecting Christians, Muslims, and those of other religions or having no religion at all. He led the fight against the head-cutting, heart-eating Daesh terrorists. So if the U.S. was really fighting Daesh, why would Washington want to kill the man who fought the terrorists most successfully? Unless Washington wasn't really Daesh's enemy. On Saturday, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, met with Soleimani's family to honor him. He said Soleimani represents the secret of endurance and victory, adding his danger to the enemies, now that he is a martyr, is even greater than when he was alive. I'd like to welcome my guests to this program, Jim Kavanaugh, writer and political commentator out of New York. Said Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator out of London.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Well, welcome both of you to the program. I'm going to start off in London with Sayed Mohsen. Sayed Mohsen, if you were to describe Qasem Soleimani, if you were to say who he was, how would you introduce him? What would you say about him?
Well, I think all accounts of those who worked with him, who lived with him, who died for him as well in many ways, all speak of a man who was deeply spiritual, deeply committed to the oppressed, deeply committed to creating a better world. And that kind of commitment, that heartfelt spiritual commitment, was really one which comes obviously from his own religious background, his commitment to the idea of fighting oppression wherever one finds it. This is from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. These are the figures that Qasem Soleimani would have held as his role models. And he lived his life in a way which was, for me, really, you know, we talk about warrior saints of the past. But for me, I think if anybody embodies that term of warrior saint in the modern contemporary, very hard to find anybody who fits that bill. But if anybody did, it has to be Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani for me, because he not only lived a pious life, he put his life on the line virtually throughout his time since his joining of the IRGC in 1979, through the war in Iran and Iraq war, in which he fought bravely to all accounts, and on to his extraterritorial missions further with the Quds Force, which he embarked upon in the 90s, the late 90s. And the evidence on the ground tells you, when you go and actually talk to people on the ground, and those people who were oppressed, who were being sort of bludgeoned into submission, the Yemenis, the Syrians, the Lebanese, the Iraqis, all across that West Asia region, Haji Soleimani's stamp is there. Okay. And is constantly, consistently for protecting the oppressed. This is the man he was.
Okay. Well, Jim, you've just heard Seth Mohsen describe Lieutenant General Soleimani, and of course Seth Mohsen is not in Iran, and he's not even Iranian, and so many people throughout the region and in much of the world would probably describe him in the same way. With that being said, what was the main problem that the United States had with such a man?
Well, Lieutenant General Soleimani was an extremely effective organizer of the resistance throughout the region. You know, this is what made him, I mean, he was almost...
Well, dear listeners, here we interrupt the normal course of our program to have the live coverage of the ceremony marking the second martyrdom anniversary of Iranian top commander and the global icon of anti-terror, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. This ceremony is taking place in Tehran, and many different prominent figures are speaking in this ceremony. Let's take a listen.
Can take place by fulfilling their goals and treading their path, and also by liberalizing all the lands of Iraq and expelling U.S. troops from the region, and also terminating the life of the Zionist regime through liberalizing Palestine.
بلد نجف أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام ومقر حوزة النجف الدينية بلد كربلاء الحسين وغيرة أبي الفضل العباس وإباء زينب عليهم السلام بلد الكاظمين الجوادين وبلد الهاديين العسكريين بلد عاصمة دولة العدل الإلهي بلد موطن الإمام المهدي عليه السلام بلد العلماء والشهداء بلد الشهيدين الصدرين العظيمين السيد الشهيد محمد باقر الصدر والسيد الشهيد محمد الصدر وبلد الشهداء من آل الحكيم بلد الحج الشعبي الذي انتصر بفتوى مرجعيته وشجاعة شعبه ودعم إيران الإسلام له انتصر على أكبر قوة ظلامية في العالم بمن كان يقف خلفها من مليارات الخليج ومخاورات الغرب وإسرائيل هذا البلد وهذا الشعب هو الذي انتصر على أكبر قوة احتلال في العالم في عام 2012
In fact, Iraq enjoys one of the oldest civilizations in the world of Islam. Iraq is the land of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the land of Najaf Seminary, the land of Imam Hussein, the land of Hazrat Zainab, and Imam Jawadain and Askariyain, and also the land of justice, the land of the Imam of the time, and the land of martyrs, Sayyid Muhammad Baghir and Sayyid Muhammad Sadr, and martyrs Hakim, and the land of Hashd al-Shaabi. So, with the support of the sources of emulation and the Islamic Republic of Iran, this country, namely Iraq, managed to overcome those countries that supported terrorism, and in this way it emerged victorious in 2012 in the face of the biggest occupying power.
انتصروا على أكبر قوة عسكرية في العالم. هذه القوة التي أخرجها شعب العراق في 2012 عادت بالحيلة والخديعة من خلال شباك مقاتلة داعش، وتسللوا تدريجيا وأوجدوا وجودا عسكريا لهم على أرضنا الطاهرة، رغم أن الدستور العراقي يمنع أي وجود عسكري وقواعد عسكرية لأي دولة أجنبية. هذه القوة التي يرفضها ورفضها هذا الشعب الأبي، وعبر عن رفضه لها بأكثر من مظاهرة مليونية آخرها ما كان قبل يومين، وعبر عن رفضه لها بقرار مجلس نوابه بوجوب خروجهم. أو الأمريكان الآن يحتالون ويراوغون ويريدون أن يستمروا بتواجدهم العسكري الذي لا يريد الخير للعراق أبدا، وإنما كل همهم أمن الكيان الصهيوني، وكل همهم الإضرار باقتصاد العراق من خلال قطعه عن أن يكون امتدادا لطريق الحرير الذي يربط الشرق بالشمال. هم يحتالون ويعبرون باحتيالهم هذا وبخديعتهم هذا وبتسويفهم هذا، لا يعبر إلا عن ضعفهم عن مواجهة الحقيقة، لأنهم يخافون من صولة هذا الشعب الأبي. ولكننا نقول أن الشعب الذي أن شعب العراق الذي انتصر عليهم في عام 2012 عندما كان عددهم يزيد على 150 ألف جندي، هم أقدر الآن على الانتصار عليهم وهم لا يتجاوزون 1500 جندي. أن هذا الشعب هو شعب أبي ويرفض الذل والهوان، وكما قلنا أن إخراج قوات الاحتلال سيكون جزء من الوفاء للشهيدين العظيمين، سيكون جزء من الوفاء للشهيد الحاج قاسم سليماني، وطريق الاستمرار على شهادته. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
A nation
that overcame the American occupiers in 2012, and as said and as mentioned by Sayyid Hassan, the leader of resistance in the region, he said that if we overcame the occupying regime in Lebanon, the Iraqi nation managed to overcome the biggest occupying power in the world, that is the U.S., in spite of the fact that the Iraqi constitution opposes the occupiers, including the Americans, and opposes the establishment of a military base. The United States seeks to continue its presence in Iraq, in spite of the fact that the great nation of Iraq, in the course of several rallies and demonstrations, million-strong demonstrations including demonstrations held in the past 2 days, have clearly declared that they oppose the American occupation. The United States seeks to continue its presence through different means. We are telling the Americans that a country that managed to overcome your presence in 2012, there were 150,000 forces there, such a country can overcome your forces that stand at 1,500 today.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you just heard the live coverage of a part of the ceremony marking the second martyrdom anniversary of Iranian top commander and the global icon of anti-terror, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. This ceremony is now taking place in Tehran's Mosalla, and many different national and international figures are taking part in this ceremony, and later during the program, we will air the speeches of some of these prominent figures. And you just heard one of the Iraqi figures speaking in this ceremony, marking the second anniversary of the martyrdom of Iranian top commander, the icon of terror, and the global icon of anti-terror, Lieutenant General Martyr Qasem Soleimani. Please stay with us. We will air the speeches of other prominent figures, national and international, especially Iranian President Dr. Sayed Ebrahim Raisi. Please stay with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
The limelight. In Britain, regular meetings are being held with ministers to assess how workforces, supply chains, and schools are affected as the Omicron COVID variant is sweeping across the country. The article you're about to hear has been written by the Guardian journalist Jedidiah Otter. The piece is titled Boris Johnson asked ministers to plan for COVID workplace absences of up to 25%. Stay with us for more. In Britain, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has instructed ministers to come up with robust contingency plans for workplace absences as it emerged that the government is concerned about the impact record numbers of daily COVID infections could have on businesses in the coming weeks. The Cabinet Office confirmed that despite the accelerated booster program, public sector leaders have been asked to prepare for a worst-case scenario that will see up to a quarter of workers being off work due to high COVID levels in the population. The department claimed that so far disruption caused by Omicron variant has been controlled in most part of the public sector, but acknowledged that public sector leaders have been asked to play through worst-case scenarios of 10%, 20% and 25% workforce absence rates, according to the Press Association report. Steve Barclay, the Cabinet Office Minister and Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, is chairing regular meetings with ministers to assess how workforces, supply chains and schools are affected as the Omicron COVID variant is sweeping across.
Well, dear listeners, again, we interrupt the normal course of our program to have the live coverage of a part of a ceremony marking the second martyrdom anniversary of Iranian top commander and the global icon of anti-terror, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. This ceremony is now taking place in Kabul. Let's take a listen to this ceremony.
Power. He fought for the sake of spirituality. He sought political, religious, cultural independence. He fought against colonialism. He protected not just the world of Islam, but the whole world. Martyr Soleimani was a man of world, this world and the hereafter. He was a civilized and a spiritual personality. He was the one who realized the goals by the late Imam Khomeini and also the goals pursued by Ayatollah Khamenei. I decided to prepare a brief biography of Martyr Soleimani, and in this way laud the personality of that great martyr. I pray to God to forgive my sins. When Joseph was presented for sale in the market as a young, beautiful man, every person offered a price. One said, I can offer 1,000 dirhams. One said, I offer 2,000 or 10,000 dirhams. Then Zulaikha came, and she fell in love with him, and she paid a higher price, and there was an ugly person coming and smiled at Joseph and told the owner, are you going to sell this young man? And the old lady said, I want to raise him as my son. And the owner said, you are such an idiot old lady. I was offered 1,000 dirhams. I did not sell him. And you want to just buy him with a small amount of money? The lady said that I've heard he's the son of Jacob and I want to raise him so that I will replace him in paradise.
اما به قول شاعر که آب دریا را اگر نتوان تشید هم به قدر تشنگی باشد.
I want to prepare this book of biography. The title of the book is Martyr Soleimani, the champion of the Muslim Ummah, and I want the people to have a better perception and understanding of this legendary figure.
Well, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you just heard a part of the ceremony marking the second martyrdom anniversary of Iranian top commander and the global icon of anti-terror, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, and this ceremony was taking place in Kabul, Afghanistan. Later during this live coverage and this program, we will air the speeches of different national and international figures speaking on this tragic occasion. Please stay with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Limelight.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, the commander of Hearts, who single-handedly confronted the global hegemonic powers and valiantly spearheaded the fight against terrorists in Syria and Iraq, was a linchpin of the resistance axis and hero for the campaigners of truth and justice around the world. We now present you an article written by Sayed Zafar Mahdi, a Tehran-based journalist, editor, and blogger with over 12 years of experience, who has reported extensively from Kashmir, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iran for leading publications.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Here we again interrupt the normal course of the program to have the live coverage of the ceremony marking the martyrdom anniversary of Iranian top commander and the global icon of anti-terror, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Now, the daughter of Martyr Soleimani is delivering a speech in this ceremony. Let's take a listen to it.
Since the martyrdom of Haj Qasem, but one can feel his soul and spirit in every corner of this land, alongside every individual in this country. Haj Qasem had